You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for... You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for...
September 14th.
I knew that.
Sure you did.
September 14th, 2008. There's a stone cold. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Cinemaniacs, your weekly podcast that talks about movie news, reviews, and whatever else we choose. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff. Hola. And we're here this week. We're going to be talking about the new Coen Brothers movie, Burn After Reading.
Yes.
And we finally saw last year's best foreign film winner, The Counterfeiters.
Yes, we did. Finally, we waited way too long.
Also known as... D. Falscher? Does that sound right? I'm not even going to try to say that again. The Counterfeiters.
There you go.
And we also caught up with Jack Nicholson's last film, The Bucket List.
Oh, yeah, him and Morgan Freeman. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but first up, we have some news here.
Hit me.
We take you now to Kermit the Frog with another fast-breaking news story.
I was like, drew a blank here.
Wow. Is it because I said hit me?
Hey, did you know that Martin Scorsese had his own website? MySpace page, I should say. MySpace.com/Martin Scorsese.
Cool.
That's kind of weird, huh?
Did you go there?
No.
Why not? It's Martin Scorsese's MySpace page, man. It's
MySpace, isn't that for pedophiles?
I'm not
saying that about Marty, but, you know.
I don't know. I think you are. Mr. Scorsese, you should write in. I think my friend's dissing you. No, anyway.
Where would he write in at there, Jeff?
That would be, what is it, podcast at thecinemaniacs.com.
Cutting that right out. He should write in to podcast at thecinemaniacs.com.
That's right. Clear his good name with a couple of internet geeks.
Have you seen the Zombie Strippers trailer?
Yes, actually, I have.
Wasn't that pretty cool?
Yeah, yeah. It looks awful, but I really want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go to the website, thecinemaniacs.com, and you can see that trailer there, Zombie Strippers. Very cool.
Yep.
Another one of our favorite directors, Tony Gilroy.
Sorry.
Tony Gilroy, most people know him as a writer. For example, the Bourne movies, he wrote those.
Right.
But he also directed and wrote Michael Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next up he has Duplicity coming out.
Duplicity.
Yep.
Who's in that?
Julia Roberts, Paul Giamatti, Clive Owen, Tom Wilkinson, Billy Bob Thornton. Should I go on?
Yeah, keep going.
Well, that's a lot of people already.
Well, yeah.
But he wrote and directed this movie.
Wow. That sounds cool.
And best of all, it's a con movie. I love con movies.
Con movies are so much fun. Yep.
Where Clive Owen and Julia Roberts, they used to be like boyfriend, girlfriend, and they're hooking up to pull a con job on their bosses now.
Nice. All right, I'm there.
I had written down another thing that he's writing. Another thing that he's writing is State of Play, but that's directed by Kevin MacDonald. It has Ben Affleck, Russell Crowe, Rachel McAdams, Jason Bateman.
Wow.
Helen Mirren, Jeff Daniels, Robin Wright Penn.
Good God.
Yeah. Well, he just attracts the actors, doesn't he?
I guess so, man. Yeah,
A-list actors.
Everybody wants to work with this dude.
Yeah. He's not directing this one. Like I said, Kevin MacDonald is.
Yeah, okay.
But it's State of Play is based on the BBC miniseries of the same name.
Oh, okay.
Reporters working together with the police detectives trying to solve a murder.
Cool. Sounds interesting.
Kevin MacDonald directed The Last King of Scotland.
Ace. And Michael Clayton. No, he wrote Michael Clayton.
Tony Gilroy wrote Michael Clayton and directed it.
Right.
Kevin MacDonald, he directed Last King of Scotland.
Okay. Which was an amazing movie in itself. That was really great, too.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Earlier this year, we had John on the show,
yep.
And we talked about what happens in Vegas.
Yeah.
And he said, what happens in Vegas should just stay there.
Right.
He wasn't a big fan of it.
I gotta tell you, I think maybe it was just because he went with his brother and kind of had a bad time. Because, you know, we finally saw this movie, watched it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And I had a great time.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. With Ashton Kutcher and Cameron Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And I give it 4 stars.
Nice. Yeah, same here.
And
yeah.
It was really nice. Maybe it's the Blu-ray that made it better.
I can't imagine that.
But here you got.
Hey, man, that One Last Call piece of shit was in Blu-ray, and that just.
Well, that's true.
That just sucked right to the bone. So, no, this was a fun. I mean, this isn't life altering cinema or anything like that, but it's
There's
fun.
Two likable, charismatic characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They each got their own little. They each got their own little sidekick buddy, you know, and mm-hmm. yeah, and everybody has a really good time. There's some funny jokes, and you know, they're like you say, they're likable people, and they, you know, fairly predictable ending. But who cares? You had a good time,
right?
You know,
right. Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, rent it. Definite rental. Absolutely.
What happens in Vegas?
There you go.
Well, then we also caught up with the bucket list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was kind of one of those ones that wasn't really on my radar too much. But, you know, you had it and we were there. So, and, you know, for a couple old dudes waiting to die, that was actually fairly entertaining.
I agree.
Yeah.
The bucket list came out, late last year?
I have no idea when it came out. I mean, I was literally that oblivious about this movie. Even though it had Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman in it, I mean, I was just like, okay.
Well, but came out the beginning of this year. Okay. Like said, Morgan Freeman, Jack Nicholson, directed by Rob Reiner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And... okay, the beginning of this movie starts off this mountain scene, and we did watch it on Blu-ray. Breathtaking.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I mean, so crystal clear, and wow.
That was a really well-produced Blu-ray version there. That was beautiful.
And we've talked that sometimes, you know, you can take an older movie, and it just brings life into it, and then other times, even the latest movie, it's like, okay.
Yeah,
you almost can't tell the difference between a DVD and a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Very rarely does that happen.
No.
But when it does, it doesn't look bad. It just doesn't look outstanding.
Yeah, exactly. This one looked outstanding.
It was.
Just
amazing.
About every point, even the most mundane scenes, like the hospital bed scenes looked really good.
Right.
You know?
If you recall, this is one that I was switching between the DVD players or mm-hmm. the... Yeah,
between the Blu-ray and the PSP, PS3 or whatever, and just trying them out. But and the picture aside, some good performances by Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And Sean Hayes, the guy from Will and Grace.
Oh, yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Yep.
What about this movie? This is...
So Morgan Freeman basically is diagnosed with cancer of some kind, I believe, right?
Yep, cancer to kill him.
Cancer is, you know, and he ends up in a hospital room with Jack Nicholson, amazingly enough, which is amusing enough because he basically runs hospitals. His company, you know, renovates and runs hospitals. And what's kind of amusing is they run hospitals with the mantra of only, you know, 2 people to a room, you know, nobody gets any real special treatment. And
right.
here he comes.
He had all the corners there. They're trying to budget these hospitals to make money and everything. So he gets put into a hospital.
He has to get put into one of his own hospitals after suffering some kind of thing. And so there's the amusement there of him having to share this room with Morgan Freeman, and he's not thrilled at all, you know.
Yeah.
And so they kind of get to know each other, and then down the line as they both – become what they think is healthier, they both get hit with the big news that they're, you know, pretty much terminal. They have, 6-8 months to live or something like that. And Morgan Freeman remembers from his college days or whatever an exercise called the bucket list, things you would want to do before you died.
Before you kicked the bucket.
Before you kicked the bucket, exactly. So the next thing you know, Nicholson gets hold of that. This guy's loaded, so they just start going out and, you know, in doing all of these wild things that only somebody with an inexhaustible income, you know, could do.
Yeah.
And the hilarity ensues.
I don't know how hilarious
it was.
Well, it
wasn't exactly hilarious.
But it was really fun.
Yeah, it was
nice,
fun
a heartwarming movie.
Sure.
You know, doing all these fun things and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, they go out and do all these crazy things and see all these amazing things and connect and have stories with one another and, you know, basically form a very solid friendship. And it's fun to watch, and, you know, there's some very amusing scenes, there's some very heart-rending scenes. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. Definitely a good movie. 4 stars, solid.
4 stars for me, too. The performances here is what did it. Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, who you've seen so many times in different movies that you enjoy watching them. Yeah. You know them, but here they have these characters that are not necessarily totally different from anything you've seen. Jack right. Nicholson, perhaps a bit more subdued.
Yeah.
But they're just fun to watch. And these mm-hmm. guys, they hit it off. They're at each other's throats. They hit it off. You know, it's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really enjoyable. Yep. Nice chemistry between those two.
Yeah, they did have good
It's kind of like a grumpy old men thing where they were like didn't like each other at first, and they get together and they're friends, mm-hmm. and, you know, but they're still at each other's throats.
Yeah, exactly.
Good movie.
Yep. Yeah, definitely check it out. All right, what's next on the agenda?
Next up we have The Counterfeiters.
The Counterfeiters. Now, we waited a long time to see this movie. Did we wait so long because we were waiting for Blu-ray and DVD? Or, I mean, because we're usually pretty good about at least checking out the best foreign Oscar winner.
Well, the DVD for it just came out last month in August.
Okay.
So it did. We did wait okay, 6 weeks or so.
So we weren't lazy slackers. It wasn't totally our fault. We had
right.
To, okay, good. Good. Because I don't feel so guilty because I really like this movie a
right,
lot.
Right, no. To be honest, I hadn't heard this movie until the Academy Award nominations
Me neither.
Were announced.
Yeah.
And then you see this list of movies, and we usually try to see everything we can before mm-hmm. the Academy Awards. And this one was one that we couldn't get a hold of.
Sure.
And so now here we have – it ended up winning.
Yep.
So we finally saw it. And this movie is directed by people that I haven't heard of before. Stefan Rozwadowski?
Oh, man. You're probably doing less of a butchering job on it than I am. So, the only movie I was more interested in this from the list of nominees when I was watching the show was Mongol.
Right.
That was the only one I was... I mean, and I still really want to see Mongol. But, the fact that it won and it looked interesting, I wanted to see it. And it was I'm glad we did.
I'm interested in seeing Mongol, too. It came out over the summer.
Yeah.
And... We didn't get a chance to catch it.
It was in and out like
so
that.
Fast.
Which sucks.
Right, but next month, October 14th, it has a DVD release date.
Cool.
So we'll be able to catch up with it then, Very and we'll good. Let you all know.
Yep.
Now, going over the list of actors that are in this movie, we have, Karl Markovics, Austin Diehl, and David Strisau, who's probably the one that we know best because he was in Downfall, that movie about the life of Hitler. Well, the obviously Downfall, the end of Germany.
Right, right.
And, but he had a bit part in that movie.
Huh.
So, Austrian, these guys are.
Okay.
And the Counterfeiters. So, we have the guys, Sally, they called him.
Sally.
He is a counterfeiter. I mean, he makes counterfeit money. Mm-hmm. I mean,
counterfeit some documents.
Right. Documents, passports, and things. Somewhere mm-hmm. I heard that when you go to war with a country, one of the worst things you could do to them is counterfeit that country's money.
Money, yeah.
Because it throws their
economic
off.
War. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what this movie is about. They get a hold of this guy, Sally.
He's the Nazis do.
The Nazis do. He's in a concentration camp. And they force him and his group to counterfeit American money or British pounds.
Yeah, they
British
successfully pounds. Do the British pounds and start doing that. And then they're working towards the dollar.
Right. And so... That's where the movie is. I mean, yeah. It talks about this group of guys that working together. A lot of them worked together before. They're very familiar with each other's work.
Right. They're very experienced in this printing and engraving and anything that would, help the Germans in this, in this financial warfare.
Right. And even the ones that don't know each other, they're like you said, they're very professional. They're like the best they are at this. There's almost a reason why the Nazis went after them.
Right.
And put them in this little crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's amazing. They get, they're... in this little special gulag or whatever, and they pretty much live a hell of a lot better than everybody else in the camp.
Right. What's a gulag?
Gulag, I don't know, like a...
concentration camp building?
Like a barracks? Building, a barracks, I don't know gulag. I don't know if gulag is the right term. Stalag, I don't know.
Oh, Stalag, like Stalag 17?
Right.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
So this gulag really...
might be a Russian thing. Whatever. Anyway.
This is a really intense movie.
Well, I mean, dude.
It's not Schindler's List level or even The Pianist.
Right.
it shows you some things in concentration camps that maybe you've seen before, but it's just a reminder, like, this is pretty harsh times.
Oh, yeah. This is, I mean, it's brutal, you know, and there's no doubt about it. I think the most interesting thing is that it told you how, you know, that there were different sides of warfare. Because, you know, when you think about it, it makes total sense, but it's not something you ever think about with open warfare is, you know, economic warfare. It's like, oh, that's brilliant. You know, bankrupt them, you know, by just flooding them with counterfeit money.
Right.
You know, it's like, wow, that's, you know, and to, once again, you know, use the concentration camp victims for cheap, you know, free labor.
Exactly. That's where it came in.
I mean,
really
it's just
brilliant.
Diabolical. You know, just gives those Nazis even, you know, I mean, it gives them more of a diabolical edge because they're not just euthanizing people, murdering people outright. It makes them a little more sinister to me.
Yeah.
As opposed to just mindless, what's that march they do? Goose step. It makes them look more sinister than just a bunch of mindless goose-stepping idiots, you know?
Right.
Out to murder everybody.
They actually have thoughts and plans. I guess how they were taking over the world because sure. They did have an idea. They did have a plan.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't see their point of view too much in the movies. Mm-hmm. They're usually portrayed as the bad guys. And here you're talking Nazi Germany. I mean, they are the bad guys.
Obviously,
but,
yeah.
But,
it portrays them more as a little bit more intellectual about it than just...
So, like I said, it was not as all empowering and takes you in as. Like,
well, yeah,
Schindler's
it shows
List,
you. It really shows you a smaller aspect of that. You know,
yeah.
Schindler's List was fairly broad, and you know, in the because it was very, the timeline on it was really big. You know,
right.
Humble beginnings to absolute end. Whereas this starts off, the war is already pretty much going. We're not getting into. Basically, yeah, we're just dealing with this one aspect of it. We're not getting into the whole bigger aspect of the war, the bigger pictures of it. We're really dealing in this one small area. So, yeah, it doesn't have the scope of some of these other movies, but still has the intensity and the desperate feel.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, these guys, for any reason whatsoever, the whim of an idiot can get their brain splattered up against a wall for no reason whatsoever.
For no reason.
Yeah. Once again, I mean, they captured the terror again, even if they didn't capture the scope, which I don't think was their mind. You know, they had this one area they were going for, and they did it well. They did it. I mean, that was such a good movie.
Yeah. It was a very strong 4-star.
I gave it 5. I really loved it. Yeah. Yep.
Very good. The Counterfeiters.
Yep. Definitely earned its Oscar, no doubt.
Next up, we have a movie that we've been waiting a long time for, especially you, Jeff. Last year, your favorite movie was No Country for Old Men.
Yes.
Directed by Joel and Ethan Coen.
Yep. Who are steadily proving themselves to be, I think, just the best filmmakers America has to offer. Wow. I really do love those guys, man. They make just some of the most interesting movies.
Fargo, one of my all-time favorite movies. Yeah. Even The Man Who Wasn't There.
Yeah, I love it. The Big Lebowski, one of my all-time favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go all the way back to Blood Simple and
Raising Arizona.
Thank you. You know,
but even Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I love that movie.
Right?
That's what I was saying. I get Hudsucker Proxy. Love
Hudsucker Proxy with Tim Robbins.
Yes,
it was a great movie.
Yeah,
and you guys said that legal movie.
Oh, Intolerable Cruelty.
Intolerable Cruelty.
George Clooney, how awesome was he in that?
That movie was fantastic.
Wasn't he great?
I just love that movie. I didn't even know that was a Coen Brothers movie. And it was fantastic.
No, those guys just are... I'm such a huge fan now. You know, I mean, I have been for a long time, but it's just... And lately, with what they've been coming out lately with is just, you know...
That best director, best picture... Best screenplay for No Country for Old Men, and now we have Burn After Reading.
Yep.
With George Clooney, Frances McDormand, who is married to Joel.
I believe so. But who is always good when she works with those guys.
John Malkovich, Tilda Swinton, who also won an Oscar last year for Michael Clayton, which we mentioned earlier, with George Clooney in it.
With George Clooney in it, yep.
Right? Brad Pitt, hilariously Brad Pitt, right? Man. So here we have, what's the story? George Clooney is FBI type of agent. He's a marshal.
He's a federal marshal. Yep.
And was it Tilda Swinton? I'm losing track of the story.
You are really losing track of the story, aren't you? Okay, we start out with John Malkovich, who is an analyst with the FBI. And is it the FBI? Okay. It's the CIA, isn't it?
The CIA.
Yeah. He's an analyst at the CIA, and he's just getting fired. He's getting fired for being an alcoholic.
Right.
And his reaction is quite hilarious. His reaction's quite awesome. So he decides that he's going to write his memoirs.
And which he affectionately calls memoirs.
Memoirs, yes.
Got to be correct.
Malkovich is so awesome in this movie. This is his and Clooney's movie. Okay, so Tilda Swinton is his wife, who is just so ice cold. It's fairly brutal. And
she looked a bit feminine in this movie, I have to say.
True. Yeah, true.
I was surprised.
And she was awesome. She was, I mean, so anyway, she's sleeping with Clooney, who is this marshal. And basically, she's getting ready to dump Malkovich. And so she starts downloading his financials and starting downloading things off of his computer. Puts it on a disc, leaves this disc at her... somehow this disc ends up at a gym where Brad Pitt and Frances McDormand find it and decide that they're going to ransom it out for some money, for some easy money. And this is just the bare bones of it, and there's so much crazy good stuff going on in this
overlapping
movie.
Stories back, yes, and forth. And
yeah, people meeting each other and
getting involved, and they didn't know the other person was involved.
Yep.
A lot of fun.
It's really neat. I mean, the cool thing is it's not necessarily written to be exactly funny.
No, but not at all.
But the way it's acted and the situations people get into. Oh my God, so much fun. I mean, there's not a moment where you're waiting for something to happen. You're always going, you're always just watching and really blown away.
You have to watch and pay attention to everything.
Yeah, you actually do. I mean, you can actually miss stuff, you know?
Even where there's a few scenes that really slow down and they're just having a soft conversation. You know, I have a picture like the gym, the owner, and Frances McDormand. Yeah. And they're just having a conversation, but you're on just like listening to on every word.
Because there's so much good dialogue and there's so much going on there. You know, and every person in this cast is on their game, man. There is not a weak performance in the bunch. And I mean, we're going down to even the supporting, you know, the supporting people. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Even
the smallest role, everybody is just hitting hard.
And look like they were enjoying themselves. Like they came out for a party.
Exactly. They look like they were having fun making this movie, and it showed because just there was so much craziness going on. It was so great.
Craziness. So this the craziness you can compare to Fargo, where it's like not meant to be funny, but it
comes across exactly. There's a lot in there that's not meant to be funny. I remember reading an interview or something like that, or just hearing a snippet that I think it was Joel Cohen or whatever saying, you know, he didn't realize he wasn't making a comedy, you know. It just came out that way.
Yeah.
And I could see that because there are these situations, and it's just the way these actors react to these situations, you know, and the dialogue and everything like that. It just comes out really amazing. I mean, dialogue that's not meant to be funny, but delivered in such a way that it just hurts.
Right. Now, one scene that Lisa and I were laughing at that... I guess you kind of leaned over. I didn't realize this while watching the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I was laughing out loud very hard.
I know both of you. No, I caught both of you laughing.
And it was where the Liberator pillow came into the scene. And you had never heard of this.
Never heard of it. I mean, you know, I'm a single guy, so.
Liberator.com.
Okay.
Spelled just the way it sounds. They make a line of pillows that help enhance your sexual positioning and such. I mean, I read one where some time ago that if you put a pillow under the tailbone of the woman while you're in a missionary style, then things just go better that way. And these pillows are designed to do that and so much, much more.
All I know is they come, you know, they get out of the station wagon, they run in there, and Clooney's got a big purple wedge under his arm.
That's actually what that one is called, the wedge.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No, I'm just like...
It used to be, I don't know, we should double check this, but Walgreens.com, I mean, Walgreens, a drugstore, I think they have them across the country. They sell them on their website. You would never see them in the store.
Right.
You know,
they sell them on the website, though, that was great. I'm looking at this big purple wedge, and they go running in there, and you guys are chuckling. And then a little bit later, you see it on the bed. And so I'm putting two and two together, obviously. But you know, for that very first moment, it's like, okay.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. But
just because of Clooney's character and everything you've seen before that, for him to be running around with that.
Well, that's the thing. It makes total sense.
Total sense.
It's just like, oh, he's... Yeah, because, well, that's one of the other things we can do is he's a player. He's sleeping around like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't make any bones about that. And it's hilarious. And, you know, him, I'm going to tell you, I mean, like I said, I mentioned a really, really strong cast, but John Malkovich and George Clooney, man, they owned this movie.
Yep.
I mean, they played it up. I mean, I would hazard, I would like to see nominations for either one or both of those guys.
Well, hopefully.
In any kind of.
Hopefully, you know, that gets remembered for it. Yeah.
I would like that because this was, I mean, once again, this was so much fun.
Exactly that.
This is the type of movie I go to the movies for. Just outright hilarity and fun, you know? And smarten it. I mean, there's some very bright dialogue to this, and, along with the stupidity, you know?
Right.
Anytime you can have intelligent stupidity, I'm there. Enthusiastic, huge 5 stars for me.
You made it to 5 stars for me.
Absolutely. Wow. No doubt. I had so much fun watching. I want to see it again. I'm going to see it again. Loved it.
I give it 4, but I still enjoyed it immensely. It was very good.
Yeah.
Very
good. I absolutely fell on. Nah, this was a good week. I saw 2 really amazing. I mean, like I said, I'll tell you, The Counterfeiters, if we'd seen it before, you know, before the year, because it came out before, you know, last year.
Right.
I think I would have made my top 4.
Wow.
I think so.
Very nice.
I think it would have put, I think it would have, whatever number 4 happened to be, might have knocked it down. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know what number 4 was.
I don't remember. But we have that on an earlier episode. People can go back and listen.
Yep. But, yeah, so, yeah, I had a really good time at the movies this week.
Very good. As did I.
Oh, yeah.
So, and with that, have a good night.
Later. Oh, we got to save the best for last, so.
Who you laugh at?
Me. I'm very funny. I amuse myself.
Which part did you say was funny?
Huh?
Which part made you
laugh? Oh, I can't choose. It's all good. I'm so full of shit. Oh, well.